Yes, Taylor Momsen Spiegel, the future Mrs. Josh and the Pretty Reckless, and so it went. Let's head right to the phones. You've been hearing Josh talk this week about that oil pipeline attack, ransomware, dark side, the evil Russian tech gang, slowing down oil, gasoline, production, transportation, some pipes running dry or pumps around the area. How the hell does something like this happen? So let's talk to a man who knows himself a little something about IT technologies, keeping stuff safe online. This gentleman is Director of Strategic Operations at DP Solutions. Love DP. This gentleman's name is Ben Schmerler. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Yeah, this is a scary bit of business, man. This is, you know, there's been ransomware attacks in the city of Baltimore. Mm-hmm. What do you do? How do you undo the damage that they've done? But that
was Baltimore County public schools.
Exactly. And now we've got this national one that's it's hitting people directly. Gas prices possibly going up. Some pumps running dry. Can you explain to those who don't know what is exactly a ransomware attack?
Sure. So ransomware is when essentially a piece of malware locks up a system. And in the case of Colonial Pipeline and the recent hack, you know, we don't have all the details. They're not being completely public about everything that happened and the extent of the attack. But essentially, this ransomware infected a portion of their system and locked them up. And what Colonial Pipeline has done is shut down their operation to prevent people or prevent the ransomware from potentially spreading to other parts of their network. And I imagine impact the infrastructure even more significantly.
How long have companies have been dealing with this in terms of having hackers trying to infiltrate their systems and then subsequently hiring, I guess, hackers of their own to defend against, you know, the good hackers and the bad hackers, right? You got to have one just as good to catch the bad ones. Because I think about, what was that movie, the Matthew Broderick movie back from the 80s? War Games
something?
Yeah.
Yes,
War Games. I mean, has it been going on that long?
I mean, I just think that the cybersecurity stuff has been an issue for basically as long as technology has been an issue. It's just that the attacks have evolved. And the thing about ransomware is that it is these actors are relying on your reliance on the technology, right? The group DarkSide that basically deployed this ransomware just said, you know, we just want money. Now, they may have geopolitical connections. It's not entirely clear what it is, but essentially they know that we rely on these services just like a small business. You know, they rely on their IT, or Baltimore County Public Schools relies upon their IT. By locking these things up with ransomware, you're really taking hostages, because we can't really operate without this stuff. This is just the latest front of it, and it's a reality. And while this is a high profile attack that's making big headlines, these kinds of ransomware attacks happen every day, and they don't make the headlines for lots of people.
So how do you think this is going to end? How do we even combat this in the future?
Yeah. So there's two sides of this. There's, every institution, not just large institutions, need to have a really robust cybersecurity plan that manages risk. You know, there's no way I can sit here and tell you guys that we can just do a bunch of things and completely stop these things from happening. Everything carries a risk. But if we have an adequate plan to secure our systems and maintain them, in this case, it may not be entirely clear that Colonial Pipeline did that to protect their systems from this sort of thing. It sounds like perhaps things may have been aged out or not completely maintained in the way they needed to. But this is something that organizations can control with a good management plan, as well as having strong personal behaviors. So avoiding clicking on bad links or engaging other behaviors that lead to ransomware being installed, even phishing attacks where, you know, just simply clicking the wrong email, the wrong ad leads to a locked up system infected with ransomware.
Ben Schmerler joining us on the program, the Director of Strategic Operations at DP Solutions. And Ben, this ransomware thing seems to have been attacking a lot of cities, a lot of people mm-hmm. around the country. And I've read about stuff in Florida, right here in Baltimore and Massachusetts. And someone made an argument that it's almost better to pay in these instances, because if you don't pay the ransomware ransom,
then other people down the line won't pay these gangs or whoever's doing it, because a precedent will have been set saying, oh, why bother paying? They just kept the system locked up. That if you actually pay these people, they will unlock your system usually. Is this going to be an instance where they almost have to budget ransom into their yearly budget just to say, which was something I read online about some CNBC article saying that there might be in the future, companies will just budget a possible ransomware ransom each year to pay some of these people out.
Yeah, while it's probably not a terrible idea to budget for disaster recovery and ransomware recovery and things like that, the better thing to do, the far more cost-effective thing to do to fight ransomware and these ransoms that are being asked is to put yourself in a position where you don't have to pay the ransom. When you talk about things like these hacks that they can't just recover from, imagine if you could say, well, we got infected with ransomware and they say we want some Bitcoin or whatever to recover from this. And you can just say, well, take a hike. We've got a good disaster recovery solution in place, something that can blow away whatever system was in place before, restore to a previous state, and then we're not leveraged anymore to pay that ransom.
Right. Like I can compare it to our system here, Ben. We have a system we call Wide Orbit, and Wide Orbit's what all of our audio elements are in. And in the event that there is a crash within the system, because you know software better than anybody, sometimes you get the old blue screen of death. We have an entirely separate, on a separate server network, backup system. So is this going to have to be maybe a practice where companies like this, you know, Colonial Pipeline, just have like an almost completely second mimicked system that they can just jump over to?
Yeah, this applies to individuals, businesses, Colonial Pipeline, anybody. Which is that in our lives, when it comes to technology, we need to figure out the things that are most important to us, right? The accounts, the systems, the technology that actually has an impact on our lives, and make sure that we have the proper backstops for that, right? So you're talking about your audio system and how it's backed up, but you care about that stuff. You might not take the same precautions for less serious technology solutions that maybe have less of an impact on your lives. We should all be taking that approach so that if a system is infected with ransomware, and ideally it's never infected with ransomware because we're doing the right things in advance, but if that system is infected with ransomware, we have something where we're not relying to pay that ransom out. And honestly, it's bad for us to pay ransom out because it only encourages this stuff to continue. This ransomware that infected Colonial Pipeline, it sounds like it was ransomware as a service, literally contracted ransomware that a criminal organization purchased to infect somebody else. It's subcontracting your cyber attacks.
That's insanity. Ben Schmerler, the director of strategic operations at DP Solutions. Let me ask you this: Is there ever a way to catch these hackers? Like, find out who they are and where they are and what they're doing.
Cuffs on them.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's almost next to impossible.
I mean, they can sometimes. I mean, it is pretty difficult, though. I mean, these people know how to hide their identities, where they're located. Obviously, if they thought they were getting caught, you wouldn't see so many incidents of this happening. Some of these organizations are probably protected by certain governments that have other goals besides just the criminal element. You know, maybe they don't mind necessarily that a pipeline is shut down. You know, it might be good for that country or their government. So it's very difficult to do that. I think certainly we should do everything we can to discourage this thing and try and trap people or cause problems for them. I think it's a little naive. I think we're way before the point of catching people. We need to be in a position where we can defend ourselves against these things. And to be honest, I think right now many organizations are severely lacking when it comes to that defense.
Yeah, it
sounds like
we can't
count on the authorities to stop it.
Well, man, we appreciate the time, the insight, and I look forward to hunting, fishing, and living off the land when the entire grid goes down. Ben, you're welcome into our commune. We got a nice little plot of land picked out in North Dakota.
Oh, wonderful.
Cool. You'll be in charge of crop production. Josh and I will sow, and Scott will go out and hunt meat. So thank you so much for the insight, man. Continue doing the good work, and fingers crossed we don't hear about more of these situations in the future, yet I have a feeling we will.
You will. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
We appreciate it, bud. Take care.
Coming up, an update.